you could open in your Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. We're going to actually read verses 18 through 25. So Acts 27, 18 through 25. Start with verse 18 here. This is Paul on his way to Rome, about to be shipwrecked. And so he's a prisoner on this ship. And that's where we kind of pick up in verse 18. Let's start on verse 18. It says, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship," meaning they threw everything off. "The third day we cast out with our hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." And the key verse being that last verse, saying, "I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." We see Paul on the ship, and many times we see ourselves on some type of voyage or something in life that requires a wisdom that we don't have. It requires a decision that we need to make that goes beyond our own wisdom. And at that point, we have a decision to make if we're going to listen to maybe people, if we're going to listen to advice from somebody else, or if we're going to take the time and seek godly wisdom ourselves, if we're going to go to the Lord. The Lord gives us in those times his advice, his own wisdom. If we'll seek him and find it, if we'll seek him and ask for it, he'll give us what we need. Many times we rush into something and we don't ask for that wisdom. We don't take the time to pray and say, just a minute, I'm going to remove myself for a second and I'm going to seek the Lord what we shall do. And there's been so many instances in my own life, even this weekend, where we have seen that even though the enemy wants us to be so full of anxiety, full of fear, to where we remove ourselves from prayer, we find ourselves going through it again and again and again and realizing, all right, I'm going to get this right after so long here, and I'm going to seek the Lord in prayer this time and get his direction. And he seems to always, always give it. And he didn't seem to. He always gives it. And so in the same scenario, Paul's on this ship, and he knows before he takes off that it's not going to be a good voyage. There's going to be danger in the voyage, but in the midst of it, he is communing with God, and an angel appears to him and gives him advice and tells him the outcome of what's going on. How many times have you had a word or something, or and you prayed, and the God has put his hand on you and said, everything will be okay, but yet we still look at the circumstances around us, and we become fearful, and we don't believe the word God has given to us to be calm, to be peaceful. We don't believe even the word of God that says he's protecting us, but we tend to jump into anxiety. But Paul says this, in the midst of those moments, and you all had those moments when all hope has been sucked out of the situation. Have you ever been in those situations where, you know, the day before, you were full of hope, you were full of joy, you were full of faith, and then something happens that seems so drastic that all the hope is sucked out of the room. All of the hope is sucked out of the situation. And so that's what kind of situation Paul is in. That's what kind of situation the men that are around him are in. And so in the midst of all that's going on, Paul stands up and he says this with a word of hope. He said, "There tonight stood by me the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So God is reassuring Paul. And in the midst of all this, Paul stands up with a word of hope. He stands up with a word of hope. And that word of hope comes from God himself. How many times have we needed a word of hope in the midst of a dire situation? But he has this belief in his God and in his word, and he declares it before everybody. I believe God. In verse 25, he says, "For I believe God that it is even as it was told to me." So I know it doesn't look the same. It doesn't look like we're going to get out of this. It doesn't look like we're going to come through it. Matter of fact, everyone has written themselves off. They're going to die. But in the midst of it, he says, "I believe God." And we have to be people that in the midst of our situations and circumstances, we stand up and say, "I don't care what it looks like, I believe God and what he has said, what is written." And that settles it. How do we become stable in life? Even in the different situations we come through, we find ourselves as children growing up, and even in our teen years, and we endure and we encounter new experiences, and we become anxious at those new experiences because we're not sure what's going to happen. We grow middle age and we get kids, maybe before middle age, and we get kids and we have this period with our children, and we become anxious. What's my child going to do? Are they going to choose the right path? Are they going to stay on the right path? Are they going to do this and that? Are they going to be okay? They're going to get in the car. You know, when my kids started driving, I was seriously in fear, man. I was like, I don't know if I trust Ben to drive right now. I don't know if I trust Elizabeth's good because she goes like 25 and a 55. I know it's that's really good. So she's all right. But there's a new fear that comes on you. And in the midst of that fear, are you going to believe God? Are you going to trust in God? And then you get older and you start thinking, wow, I'm not invincible. You know, I'm nearing the end of my days here. And you start to become anxious about those times. Dana, I saw her peg you, you know. And you think, am I going to make it through this? But do I believe God? Do I trust in God through this? So we can't say we've arrived. We can't say that, well, we've gotten past that point and I'm fine. Because we all come to different circumstances in different parts of our life where a new fear will come on us. And we have to stand and say, am I going to believe the word of God that he's protecting me and seeing me through every situation? Or am I going to succumb to the fear in my mind and to the enemy's voice in my mind? Am I going to stand like Paul did and say, for I believe God that what he said is true, that what he said is just be like he told me. Do you believe? Do you really believe what he said? Because not believing God leads to a life of fear and insecurity. I remember at one point in my own life, it came to such a head where I was so full of anxiety. And I remember it was like the Lord turned the light on for me. And this thought came to my mind. Am I going to believe it or not? That's all it took. And I was like, man, you are right, Lord. I'm either going to believe it and overcome it, or I'm just not going to believe it and die in anxiety. But I decided there, then and there, in that situation, I'm going to believe it. And it allowed me to conquer what I was going through. But not believing God leads to a life of fear and insecurity. And what it actually is when we don't believe God and his word is we are denying the fact that God is honest. We're denying the fact that God is a God of integrity. Because we don't believe him enough to believe his word and what he told us. So we need to believe the word of God with all of our heart and say, Lord, in spite of everything that's going on around me, in spite of circumstances, I believe what you said. It will just be like what you said in my life. Above all else, when we believe and decide to believe, it leads us to a life of confidence and courage. You never see a life like Paul unless Paul had a life full of belief in the God that he served. And that he knew that he was specifically doing a service to God specifically. And his life was given to God. You would never see his confidence and courage if he didn't know beyond all shadow of a doubt that God was standing behind what he said. And that he had full faith and belief in that. So there's some foundational beliefs that Paul had and that we can have as well, and we find in the Word. And so we're just going to go through those this morning briefly. But one of the first foundational beliefs, and it seems so simple, but it's hard sometimes. But we have to believe that God is going to answer our prayer. We have to believe that God is going to answer our prayer. And sometimes that's tough because we ask already in desperation. We ask already in doubt when we go to God in prayer. Like, oh, Lord, I'm praying and See, you're never going to do this. You know, you kind of have that attitude about it when you come to God in prayer. But when we come to him in prayer, we have to believe that he's going to answer our prayer because he's promised us that he would. In Matthew 7 through 11, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." That's amazing right there. That is amazing, and maybe we need to put that up on our wall. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Notice he doesn't say, "Ask, and I'll get to you briefly. In a short time, maybe I'll listen to you, you know, if I feel like it." He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "If ye shall seek, you might find, you know, it might be kind of hard to find me. You might be like that thing that you find behind the couch after about 10 years that you looked everywhere and you swore it was there and you never could find it." It's not like that. He says, "Seek, find." And he says, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Not knock and for 10 years and finally, you know, but knock, and it shall be opened unto you. "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" So we know who we serve. We know what kind of God we serve. We know that God is not shifty. He's not a liar. He's not somebody who plays games with us. But he is a God who is trustworthy and true. And so when you ask for bread, he gives you bread. He doesn't give you something that you don't need. He gives you what you ask for. "Lord, sustain me today. Father, I need food today. Lord, I need help today." He doesn't play games with us, but he gives you what you ask for. So we have to believe first that God's good. And secondly, we have to believe that God is a God who answers our requests. I saw this movie last week. I had some time when I was working, and so I played this movie on the side. I got these huge screens in my room where I work. That's just the kind of work I do. And so I had this thing playing. It was the life story of George Mueller. Have you ever, you know, George Mueller is, or Miller, however you say it. But he ran an orphanage in England. And the man started, literally, his family was rich. He went to, his dad wanted him to go to a seminary. But George was kind of a ladies' man, and he was a partier and that type of thing early in his life. And his dad was just fed up with him. And so finally, he did go to seminary, and his dad supported him. And he felt so bad that his dad supported him, because when he finally came to the Lord in seminary, he realized how he had let his dad down so many times. So he insisted that his dad don't pay for it. He was going to allow God to give him the money for seminary, and God did. He supplied all the money he needed to go to school. And so through this school, he realized that he wanted to get down to a place where every day he had to trust in the Lord for everything he needed. And he did. He did that for a long time. And he realized God was calling him to open an orphanage. And not, George Mueller didn't only open one orphanage, but he opened multiple orphanages with thousands, eventually thousands and thousands of kids, where the government had given up on these kids and they were on the street. George Mueller every day decided that he was going to trust God for everything every single one of those kids needed. He didn't go and ask for funds. He didn't do a big fundraiser. He didn't go and tell everybody that this guy gave $500, so can you give money? He didn't say anything like that. But he woke up every day and he spent hours and hours with the Lord. And he trusted him to give him everything he needed for these orphanages, and he did. And it was, George Mueller was such an inspiration to England that when he died, the procession and the way the city mourned for him, they realized that they had lost a true man of God who followed God every day for everything that he needed. They said he was such a shining example of what it was like to live for the Lord that they had to give him such a celebration in his death. But what would it be like to follow the Lord to such a degree where you trusted him for every single thing you ever needed, that you asked him for whatever you needed, and according to his promise that he gives you, you ask, you receive. But he left us on this earth, not drifting and aimless, but he left us to seek him. He left us with a comforter. He left us to be by our side, to lead and guide us every day, to give us directions. He's given us promises to rely on. His promises are ask, and I will give. seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. And that's so different from how many people think. And many people think they haven't heard from God in a long time. But the fact is, God is speaking to us every day. The question is, are we listening and are we believing what he says? Because after a while of not believing, you kind of lose that sensitivity to God's voice, don't you? You know, but are we listening and are we believing? We have to believe that God is going to answer our prayers first and foremost. The second thing is we have to believe that God truly will supply all of our needs. And Philippians 4:19, it says this. It says, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So we need to understand that God has a stake in our care and our well-being. And so many times we think that we are the ones who have that stake in our care and well-being, but God has a stake. He has a responsibility, but he has a desire and a willingness and a promise that he will supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But the burden that we have in our lives shouldn't be a burden of taking care basically of ourselves. We need to have a burden that rests on God's shoulders, a burden to know that he has promised that our yoke is easy and our burden is light. So one of the things in our life that we shouldn't be doing is struggling and striving, because God has said, "I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So why are we struggling and striving? Someone once said that God will not supply your greeds, but he'll supply your needs. So when we find ourselves struggling and striving, we got to ask ourselves, what are we struggling and striving for? If God's supplying our needs, are we struggling and striving for our greeds? And maybe that's the thing that we need to let go. There's another quote that goes like this. It says, "When the child of God is in the will of God, serving for the glory of God, then he will have every need met." He'll have every need met. When the child of God is in the will of God, serving for the glory of God, then he will have every need met. And in that trust, knowing that God will supply every need, and that ability to say, "Lord, I trust you. I know you're going to supply everything that I need today, everything that I need tomorrow. Lord, I don't have to worry." That comes with peace. When we are able to trust him for all that and believe him, there's a peace that we receive from that. We know that he's taking care of us and he's supplying the things that we need. So God is a good God. He cares for his people. In 1 Peter 5:7 it says, "Casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you." Casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. So God is a God who will supply all of your needs. So we believe that God answers our prayer. We believe that God supplies all of our needs. And the third thing is, and we have to believe, we've talked about this last week before, is we have to believe the reality of God's abiding love. We have to believe it. We have to live in it. Romans 8:38, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we have God's promise that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then Paul, he lists here in these verses the things that we actually come in contact to with our lives that would try to steal that promise, would try to discourage us in that promise. And he mentions things like death. Death is something that would discourage us from believing that nothing separates us from God and his love. Principalities and powers. And then he says other creatures. How many times do you come in contact with other creatures that try to persuade you that maybe God doesn't love you like he should? Or maybe God isn't really satisfied with you right now. Or, you know, you run into those creatures, don't you? But he's warning us of those things that try to separate us or try to make us think that we're separated from God. But we have to live in assurance that we're not separated from God, and never can be and never will be. Nothing can separate us. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, "The bedrock of the Christian faith is the unmerited, fathomless marvel of the love of God, a love that we can never and shall never merit." So it is unfathomable. It's fathomless. It's unmerited. But we have to learn to live in that. knowing that that's our basis. That's our basis for life. And with that comes the understanding that God will fulfill his promises towards us because he loves us so much that we're his, we're in the palm of his hand, and we'll never be separated. So we have the ability in his love, and that's the key, in his love, to overcome everything that would try to overcome us. So we have the knowledge and acceptance of God's love. We have the knowledge that in God's love we can endure hardship, trial, tribulation, distress, persecution. And then Paul says this, he says that we are more than conquerors through him in all these things, not in spite of these things, but in all these things, we're more than conquerors, not outside of these things, but through these things, we're more than conquerors. And Paul was someone who was so aware of God's love for him that no matter what he went through, no matter what tragedy he went through, no matter what hardship he went through, he was rooted firmly and grounded in the love that God had for him. And he was able to endure and overcome any obstacle, knowing that God was in this. And there's so many times in our lives when we go through those things that we talked about earlier that try to push us off of our foundation. But knowing that it's not something that God is throwing at us in anger, it's not something that's a punishment, but it's something that he has given us the strength to go through because we should be rooted and firmly grounded in his love. And rooted and firmly grounded, going through all those things, through all those things, we're able to overcome because we have that foundation that's sure. Paul's able to say this. He's able to say, I am exceedingly joyful in all tribulation. How many times can you say that you've been joyful in tribulation? You know, that's hard to muster up, but we can be exceedingly joyful in all tribulation. There's problems that we face in life, but they only become problems. This was put to me so many times recently. People say, I face problems in life. But problems only become problems when we don't rely on the Word of God and the promises that God has given to us. Think about that. Problems only become problems when we don't rely on the Word of God and the promises that he's given to us. He's made so many points to tell us that when we're in the midst of a tribulation, that maybe the tribulation isn't about you completely. Maybe the tribulation is there to cause you to bless somebody else in your life. And there's times in our lives when we complain and we say, Lord, why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? Only to find that we're there in a situation, not for ourselves, but maybe to affect those people that are around us. Maybe to witness and minister to those people that are there around us. And had this not happened, we would have never come in contact with that person. And nothing has spoke to me that louder than this weekend. Once again, with Nicole in the EMS, you know, in the ambulance, and she was telling them where to go because they didn't know the directions to get to Children's Hospital. You know, she was like, yeah, take a left here and go here. And the whole way down, she had 5 hours to talk to a nurse who had walked away from the Lord, and she was able to minister to her again. But maybe the situation isn't about you. And if Paul would have looked to himself and said, look at all this that's going on with me, and Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And Lord, why do you keep putting me through this? And if he would have had that focus in his mind instead of having the focus of, Lord, what am I to do here for you? How am I supposed to minister to this person here for you? How am I supposed to speak out of your word to this situation here that I'm in for you? How do I glorify you? And when we have that focus, our lives become something completely different. And we're able to have joy inside, but they become something completely different because all of a sudden our lives become an adventure for God. And Lord, it's almost like saying, Lord, what are you going to do next? What do you want me to do next? Lord, what is it you got me to do next, Lord? What is that next adventure? What's that next thing that you have for me? And the focus of our lives quits becoming ourselves and it starts becoming him. And it becomes exciting because you're onto something new and you're onto living in true faith in God, living in knowing that something is just over the corner. He has something that he's assigned you to do, something he wants you to speak, and you're doing it for him and not for yourselves. But he's still giving you the promises that you can rely on. He's giving you the foundation you can live on. if you simply just believe God, believe Him, believe His honesty, believe His trustworthiness, believe His dependability, and act on your belief. And God will accomplish things through you, just like He accomplished things through Paul. What Acts teaches us is that we should, and we can, and we must trust God. We must trust God under any circumstance at any time. The problem is so many times we focus on the circumstance and not on the God of the circumstance. I'm just going to say that one more time so that sticks in your head. The problem is that so many times we focus on the circumstance and not on the God of the circumstance. So do you believe Him this morning? Do you believe in every word He says? Do you believe His word more than you believe the thoughts that are in your head? Do you believe His word more than you believe the emotion that comes on you that tries to get you to act outside of His word? Do you believe this morning? Will you stand with me? Just pray with me.